Lora will call this meeting of the House Resources Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 2 p.m. Friday, March 26, 2021. Present with us developing a quorum is Representative McKay, Representative Kronk, Vice Chair Hopkins, Representative Gillum, Representative Hallin, Representative Rauscher, myself, Representative Putkuduk. I believe Rep. Fields is carrying a bill in another committee meeting right now, and I believe Rep. Schragi is in a subcommittee meeting at the moment. I'd like to say thank you to our recording secretary on the airwaves, Robin, and our LIO moderator, Alex. And I'd like to welcome the folks in the audience here to speak on a couple of bills, and then also our photographer. You'll see Grace over there, our committee aide. And just a housekeeping reminder, silence your cell phones and put them up on a notepad, please. Thank you for indulging my rescheduling of today's meeting. Today we've got SB 22, the Intensive Game Management, before us. That let the record reflect, Representative Trogi is here, 201. SB 22 that I'd like to move out of committee today since we haven't received any amendments, and then we'll have our first hearing on House Bill 10. We'll hear from the sponsor, Representative Hannon, and her staff, and then we'll hear both invited testimony and public testimony. As a reminder, we did hear SB 22 on Wednesday and went through public testimony, and we, as mentioned, did not receive any amendments. Are there any closing comments before we attempt to move the bill out of committee from committee members regarding SB 22? Seeing or hearing none, Emma, is there anything you would like to say regarding SB 22? Well, with that, what's the will of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 22, Work Order 32-LS0208/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
We've got a motion. Hearing or seeing no objections from the committee members, consider it moved. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the report, and then we'll gavel back in. Back on the record, and as noted during the at ease, if when you speak, if you could please hug your mic a little bit. It's a little different now hearing folks, as noted, so just noting that. Up next, we've got House Bill 10. This is the first hearing on House Bill 10. The plan is to hear from the bill's sponsor, take invited testimony, and then take public testimony. Representative Hannon, if you can introduce yourself and your staff, and begin your presentation on House Bill 10.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Sarah Hannon, representing House District 33. Thank you to the Resources Committee for scheduling this bill. House Bill 10 will seem like deja vu to a couple members who heard this bill in 2019, and to a couple of you who've heard it in the Tribal Affairs Committee. House Bill 10 is a permanent preservation of a World War II relocation camp cemetery that is located in Funter Bay. It's actually a short distance due west from here. on the northern tip of Admiralty Island. Funter Bay is a naturally occurring bay at the confluence of Icy Straits, Chatham Straits, so it's an area that has always had a lot of traditional activity and use and big water. In 1942, shortly after the Japanese bombing in Dutch Harbor and the Japanese attack that ended up with the residents of Kitka and Attu Island being captured by the Japanese and sent to Japan, the U.S. Army made the decision to relocate all of the remainder of the villages on the Aleutian Islands and the Pribilofs. The residents of St. Paul and St. George and the Pribilofs were relocated to Funter Bay. In Funter Bay, there were two relocation camps. In Southeast, there ended up being a total of six relocation camps. Funter Bay had two camps on either side of the bay, one at an abandoned mine and one at an abandoned cannery. Funter Bay was the largest relocation camp with 480 people there and the highest death rate of any of the relocation camps. The Funter Bay cannery that was used had been a cannery that had already been abandoned for over a decade, and most canneries were never built for year-round use. They were going to be seasonal. The Funter Bay location of that cannery was an especially unproductive site because it did not have a very good fresh water source, and that's one of the things that canneries always need. Early on, the Funter Bay camp became a death zone because it had poor water, poor sanitation, and was sort of left to fend for themselves. The other relocation camps in Southeast were much closer to communities and could be resupplied and rapidly tended to. So south on Admiralty Island, there was another relocation camp in what's called Killisnoo, which is an island adjacent in front of the village of Angoon. The Wrangell Institute in Wrangell. Across from Wrangell Institute, Burnett Inlet. And it was actually further away from civilization, quote, than Funter Bay is from Wrangell, but had much clearer access and use. And then Ward Cove, which is in Ketchikan, accessible by road, and the CCC camp that had been there and in use. So in those other locations, people were able to get to medical care, put their kids in school. In the case of the Ward Cove relocation camp, get jobs in town. But Funter Bay, the St. Paul and St. George residents were left to fend for themselves. And we'll add another level of sort of grievance and sadness to it. St. Paul and St. George were already locations where the citizens of the Pribilofs, the men, were forced to harvest annually seals for the U.S. government as a monetary stream. And so annually in the summers, while they were kept at Funter Bay, the men were forced to return to St. Paul and St. George and participated in the U.S. government's seal harvest. Now, in a traditional camp, that would be traditional village, that would have been the time that you were making sure you're putting up enough fish and berries and harvesting deer. But instead, the men were, able-bodied men were sent back to St. Paul and St. George, and left behind were the women, children, and the elderly. And as a result, there is a large cemetery there. What this bill would do would move 251 acres into an existing state park, the Funter Bay State Marine Park. That marine park has existed for about 30 years, currently has about 450 acres of land acreage, 730 acres of tidal lands and water, for a total of 1,180 acres. This would transfer the management from one division of DNR, the Division of Land, Water, and Mining, into the Division of Parks, and take that remaining state parcel and add it to the existing state park. It would protect permanently the cultural, social, and historical significance of the cemetery. I can tell a much longer tale about the story of the Thunder Bay and relocation, because in my career previous to this, I was a teacher of Alaska history and American history. And I always made it a point to make sure that in American history, we talked about World War II and Alaska's impacts, because many Americans are ignorant of the fact that the U.S. territory was bombed and American citizens were captured on our land and forced into Japan for the remainder of the war. The descendants of the survivors of the Thunder Bay relocation camp have, since World War II, continued to make pilgrimage to that cemetery, attempt to maintain the graves. Many residents and descendants of the Pribilofs remain residents of Southeast because of that relocation. They did not all go home. Many of their homes were destroyed. The camp was kept open for 18 months after all the other camps were shut down and communities were able to repopulate. So as a result, there's a long historical tie between the Onungan people from St. Paul and St. George and the Tlingit people of Angoon and Huna and here in Juneau. And the cemetery has always been known. The impetus to give it permanent protection started about a decade ago when the cemetery that's in Killisnoo, south of Angoon, that's on private property, that property changed hands and the new owners cut off visitation to the cemetery. And it was sort of one of those moments where the descendants realized that there was potential, because much of the land surrounding this cemetery, there's private land holdings, there's national forest, there's a national monument. And for them, it was a moment to make sure people knew the historical significance and to preserve their permanent right to make sure that their ancestors' graves were never disturbed. We do have a short PowerPoint for you, and like I said, I could go through a full hour-long lesson on World War II and relocation camps, but I'm going to spare you that unless you have detailed questions. My Chief of Staff, Tim Clark, is with us today and has prepared a PowerPoint to give you some of that. I believe there's a map in your packet.
Thank you, Representative Hannon, and I'd just like to let committee members know that we can make sure that some of the questions that we may have at this point, maybe Tim might be able to answer through the PowerPoint, so if we can hold them until after the PowerPoint, that'd be appreciated. Tim, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Tim Clark, staff to Representative Hannon. The first image here in the PowerPoint just shows the a wider map of areas of Southeast where not only the Thunder Bay camp, but the other internment camps that the representative mentioned are shown. And in a moment here, I'll find a way to move forward. So.
We just need to scroll all the way up.
There. Oh, yep. Wrong direction. This is just a couple of photographs of one of the gravestones still there in the in the cemetery itself. You'll see it's, unfortunately, I have a child that died at a very young age. And the other photograph is one of the outbuildings at the former cannery complex that, as you can see, in this day and age is even further dilapidated. This is a rather fuzzy kind of close-up of a larger map that shows the Marine Park boundaries and Thunder Bay. The A1 denotes the existing boundaries of the park, both to the west and to the east of the new parcel that will be added, which is A02. One of the advantages of the way this transfer is designed is that no new survey will be required, in which case there are no costs associated with the bill. The land in question, although it was under mining land and water, has for many, many years been managed as recreational parkland. And you can also see here that the addition of the land makes the borders of the park more contiguous, less fragmented. And from the point of view of the agency, that also makes the management easier, less complicated when you have these gaps, you know, in boundaries where different agencies have to be involved. So. Here's another view of Thunder Bay and Admiralty in relation to Juneau. As the crow flies, it wasn't a great distance, but to actually get there and back required a fair amount of sea miles. Here's a photograph of the cemetery itself. This is after a fair amount of recent restoration in 2017. The text here just reiterates the what the bill accomplishes, providing protection of the cemetery for future generations, and that the transferred land will become part of the Thunder Bay Marine Park and be managed by the Parks and Recreation Division. And that's about the extent of it. So I'd be happy to take any questions.
Certainly, Mr. Clark. This is Representative Hopkins, who took over the gavel for a brief moment while Chair Pocketuck had to step out. It looks like there are at least one question from Representative Rauscher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, through the chair, and I am speaking in favor of the bill. Representative Hannon, is this basically the exact same bill, using the same language that we heard in Resources last year as it left Resources, or has there been a change since then? I couldn't remember. I thought there might have been an acreage change amendment, but I wasn't sure whether that passed, and I'm just wondering where that might be as in regard to this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Rauscher. There has been an acreage change. The worded in the bill, and if you turn to the bill, pages 1, 2, 3, 4 all describe, and most of 5, a survey. And only the last paragraph is the management plan. And to a lay person, I presume that a survey is a survey is a survey, and it's accurate. And what we found as this bill progressed from the Resources Committee last year through the House floor, then to Senate Resources, and then to Senate Finance, the coordinates actually were over, they were actually, when it left House Resources, it included several acres that were already in the existing state park. The final version, Senate Resources corrected that and brought the acreage that we were transferring down, because most of the acreage, as it was described in 2019 in House Resources, was already part of the state park. But when the bill was put together and the survey coordinates were provided, it over-included. So it included parcels that were already part of the state park. So for our purposes, it hasn't changed, but the survey coordinates and total acreage measurements have changed and been substantially reduced, because when it was in House Resources, we had a survey that showed several hundred acres that were already included in the state park.
And
follow up, Representative Rauscher.
Tim, I had a comment.
Tim, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just add, Tim Clark, that's the representative, Hannon. the simplest way of putting it is that the bill before you is the identical to the bill that passed the House after amendment in the 31st legislature. So there are no changes, Mr. Chairman, from the bill that passed the House in 2019.
Thank you, Tim. Follow-up, Representative Brosher.
Yeah, two follow-ups. First, I just want a clarification. This is referencing the changes that happened in the Senate, correct?
I think the Senate Resource Final Survey is what this reflects. We probably should have DNR. There was the error in the survey was caught by DNR in the process, and so to recollect whether they caught it for our House vote or the Senate Resources Committee is a little blurry in my historical reference.
Okay, and we do have Preston Crows online. Preston, I'm not sure if you're able to clarify the chain of events, but you're more than welcome to answer Representative Rauscher's question.
All right, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and the committee representatives. Unfortunately, I also am unclear whether it was in the Resource Committee or actually as part of the Senate hearing. Exactly where it was amended, unfortunately, I'm also unclear.
Okay. Representative Rauscher, follow-up?
Yes. Thank you. One last question. All the agencies still support it like they did last time, correct? And that's my understanding.
And, Mr. Chairman, I should defer to my chief of staff. He was not with me in 2019, so he studied the bill from only the documents versus the blurred verbal history.
Tim?
Chairman, once again, Tim Clark, staff to Representative Hannon. And I can assure you that the only amendment to the bill in the 31st legislature took place on the House floor on the day of passage. And that amendment was the one that corrected the acreage question. And it was left unamended following passage of the House. So this is, so to speak, that version of the bill, the one that was amended on the House floor, passed the House, and went on to be heard in the Senate.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Representative Gillum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a couple questions for clarification. I also looked into this a little bit, and it shows there's only 23 grave sites in this cemetery. And that's off of the documents that we found. And also, it was less than an acre. So I'm like, is this just for clarification? Why is there needed 251 acres?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hannah?
There are 23 gravestones, but 32 known burials, according to the Park Service, according to the Admiralty National Monument. And I do have what the feds use as their documentation of it. The acreage has to do with the Department of Natural Resources' recommendation that instead of continuing to fragment and have two agencies with responsibility, because as that one map showed, there's sort of an island between three parcels they manage that are part of the state park, that it was cleaner to just move it all over and wouldn't require an additional survey, which costs time and money.
Okay. One last
follow-up. Representative Gillum.
If I'm not mistaken, there's 10 private areas in that cove, is that correct? And also, have you spoken to those people?
Through the chair?
Representative Hannon.
The local, you've asked two questions, which is the number of parcels. Funnel Bay in total has a higher number than 10, so depending on how you measure that cove, I believe one of the adjacent property owners is signed up for public testimony. The Funter Bay residents on the side where the cemetery have been actively engaged in this process long before I came to it. They've not expressed any opposition at any point. There was a third question in there.
I believe if you've worked with them on this.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that? I couldn't hear.
Have you spoken to the people, to the landowners?
Yes.
Okay. I said that was just for my clarification. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gillum. We have any other questions from committee members? Representative McKay?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Hannon, this certainly seems like a very, very noble thing to do, and I have great reverence for folks that suffered in that period of time. I'm just curious, are there any descendants from these for these folks that are still around?
Okay.
Through the chair, absolutely. And I'm not sure if Martin Stepanton is going to be able to testify today. Yes. Martin is a constituent and a descendant of survivors of the camp that he has relatives buried there. I believe it's an uncle. He usually referenced that, but his parents were both at the camp.
And just one quick follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative McKay.
Thank you. Through the chair, are there any mining claims, easements, right-of-ways? Is the title clear? Is this going to interfere with any other activity out there or, that you know of? Or?
To my knowledge, no, Mr. Chairman. But the Department of Natural Resources is online and should provide that explicitly. There are mining claims across Funter Bay. So you saw it was a fairly large bay. And on the southern side of the bay is where the old mining camp, where the mining relocation camp was, and where there still exist mining claims. But it's the northern side of the bay where the cemetery and the state park are.
And as Representative Hannon noted, Alaska State Parks is online. Preston, or Mr. Crose, I want to make sure I'm saying your last name correctly. Can you speak to any of the line of questioning from Representative McKay?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I guess for the record, I didn't clearly state earlier, my name is Preston Cruz with Alaska State Parks. I'm the Southeast Regional Superintendent for all the parks from Ketchikan up to the Haines area. Regarding the 251 acres that would be added to the state Funter Bay State Marine Park, there are no mining claims in that track of our parcel of land. It is a clean title. This area had been categorized by Mining Land and Water years back to be recreational property. They deemed it that it had very little or no natural resource extraction possibilities due to the terrain and topography, and then having that little community immediately adjacent to it. So they had deemed it to be managed as recreation in the identical fashion of the state marine park.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. I believe continuing questioning from committee members, Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hannah, I just want to thank you for bringing this bill forward again this year. It was informative and excellent to hear it last year. This summer, my wife and I listened to it or watched a documentary about this. But shortly into the documentary, I realized it was about this situation and this legislation. It was, and to turn people's attention to page 2 of the sponsor statement, the way the men who were at this internment camp were taken away each summer and sent back to the Pribilofs, where they were forced to harvest seal meat because it was a form of income for the U.S. government, were never allowed to return home during that time, and I don't believe were paid for it either. It was certainly a heartbreaking situation that definitely did reflect the enslavement by the Russians of these people centuries earlier. And so ensuring that we memorialize this cemetery and the people that stayed there before, I think, is incredibly important for understanding our history and the role that we have all played in it. And hopefully going forward, we remember that we don't do these things in the future. Last year, during the testimony, I believe some of the landowners in the area showed up for public testimony and supported this as well. I think Mr. Reed Stoops was one of those who frequents this building and was in support of it. So I look forward to hearing from those landowners as well about the importance of this bill and the legislation. So it's been in process for a while, and thank you very much. I look forward to hearing the public testimony about it.
Representative Hannon.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a chapter in American and Alaska history that I certainly knew a lot about, but when I became an elected, this wasn't my idea. The descendant family had already organized and had been working to get the protection that they're seeking through this bill. I'm simply speaking on their behalf. In 2019, we did have it was 2020, on the Senate side, St. Paul and St. George elders came down to speak about it. And the clear pain of that chapter in their history is really motivating, because it's not my good idea. It's their activism that has, since 1942, sought to have this protected and preserved. And when I was asked if I would sponsor legislation, that was an easy yes. So,
thank you, Representative Hannon. Any other questions from committee members? Seeing or hearing none, we'll move on now to our invited testimony, Representative Hannon.
Thank you.
I believe we've got three folks on the line, two from the Friends of Admiralty Island, and then I believe the landowner that you spoke to, person by the last name of Patricia Gregory. We'll start with Martin Stepitin. Martin, you have the floor to provide your... Oh, sorry. sorry about that. We need to gavel into public testimony first. You helped me lose my train of thought with your moving statement there, Representative Hannon. We'll gavel into public testimony now on House Bill 10. As mentioned, we've got three folks under public testimony for House Bill 10. We'll start with Martin Stepitin. If you can provide your public testimony, put your name on the record and your affiliation. I'll give you a few minutes, and the floor is yours, Mr. Stepitin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Puktuk. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for hearing my testimony today. I just want to thank you and the committee members, and especially Representative Sarah Hammond for bringing this bill forward again this year. Before I say anything, I just want to say that I come to you from Klinkitani land, and I want to thank the people of the Taku Kwan and the Akwan for letting me speak on their land today. This bill... HB 10 is, I just wanted to speak today as a personal touch and somebody who is connected to it as a descendant. I am a descendant. My father is Carl Stepitin. My mother is Pauline Stepitin. And it was their parents, my grandparents that were there, Olga Stepitin, Alexei Stepitin, and my grandparents from my mother's side also, and Karatina Krukov and Agapon Krukov. They were there. They survived. My grandmother was really young at the time. She was 16. It was a terrible time for them. My grandfather had to get sent back to the islands during that time to harvest seal furs. An interesting note about that, the main financial engine in Alaska was, and the first time Alaska ever paid off its first $7.2 million came from about 300 Aleuts out in the Pribilof Islands harvesting fur seal pelts, and that was the main financial economic driver in the state and the territory at the time. The point I want to make to this committee tonight is that Alaska was a territory at the time. The state of Alaska didn't exist. The state of Alaska, this is not the state of Alaska's fault, what happened there. It was solely the federal government's fault, and the Aleut people successfully sued the federal government and won along with a group of Japanese people that were interned also throughout the country at that time. However, this bill and the opportunity to protect this land now sits solely with the state of Alaska, and the opportunity to protect Hunter Bay and these graves and our loved ones solely sit with the state of Alaska, only because now the cemetery sits on state of Alaska land. So that's the most important point I want to make, and that we are working hard to keep this land protected and safe so that it doesn't end up in private held land just like the one in Killisnoo, where we cannot even get to. It's on private land. We started working on this in 2014. That's whenever we learned about the land in the 17 graves in Killisnoo that are on private land now. And so we want to protect these graves. There's about 40 graves out there right now that we know of. And we want to make sure that for the future, long after we're gone, that this land is protected, and that the state of Alaska will make sure that this history is remembered. I think the most important part of this bill is that the history is remembered, and that we don't ever forget what happened. We don't ever forget as a country what we're capable of doing to people whenever we're in fear or scared, and that we don't ever try to repeat what happened again. I think that's the most important part to remember here. So again, thank you, Chairman Pukatuk, for hearing my testimony. Thank you to the Resources Committee and Representative Sarah Hannon. Mishchish.
Thank you, Mr. Stepitin. Up next, we've got Okaline Patricia Gregory. If you can put your name on the record and your affiliation and provide your public testimony, we'll give you a few minutes. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for listening to my testimony. My name is Okaline Patricia Lakanoff Gregory. I am an Aleut descendant of the Aleut evacuation. I am the administrator of Aleutian Pribilof Islands Restitution Trust. I support House Bill 10 for the protection of the historical significance of the Unungan Aleut Cemetery in Thunder Bay. This will not be the last time you hear from me. Again, I want to say that when a sign is placed in recognition of the Aleut people, it is very important. It's like going to any cemetery that anybody visits. I want signage in other locations where the Aleuts were sent during World War II. I was just recently informed and received pictures of the informational panel that is in Ketchikan near Ward Lake or Ward Cove, and I am happy for that. On a personal note, both my parents and my maternal grandparents were in on Alaska Dutch Harbor during the bombing on June 3rd and 4th, 1942. The Aleuts Unungans were sent to Wrangell Institute to live in Kansas camps for a few months, and then they were relocated to Burnett Inlet, where my dad's brother is buried somewhere in the woods over there. This tragic event happened to 881 Aleuts. The Unungan, who were citizens, still living, still gives me chills thinking of this nightmare that my parents tell me and other elders of this evacuation story, an event that happened for almost 3 years of their lifetime. A chapter in history that is rarely heard, like Representative Hannon said, as a teacher, you rarely hear that. So signage, a recognition of these sites, Hunter Bay near Juneau with 49 deaths, Ward Lake near Ketchikan, 9 deaths. Burnett Inlet near Wrangell, 4 deaths. And Killisnoo near Angoon, 11 deaths. This is important to say that I mentioned these numbers. Imagine if any one of these members are in an unmarked grave like your loved ones. It is a pretty sad picture. Also, we should never forget the 42 Aleuts who were taken to Japan and over half passed away and remain over there. You can see a memorial wall now if you walk up the street to the St. Nicholas Russian Orthodox Chapel in Juneau that lists 92 Aleuts that have passed in Southeast, but no names are mentioning the Aktuans. signage or recognition is dear to my heart, as well as many. In closing, I want to emphasize that this will be important to the remaining survivors, of which a little over 100 are still with us, to know that their loved ones and village people, that the people that were evacuated from over the 9 villages, have some sort of remembrance. May their memories be eternal. Thank you for your time. Kagasakun. Thank you.
Thank you, Okalani. We'll move on. Next on public testimony, we've got Joel Bennett. Joel, if you could put your name on the record and your affiliation and begin your public testimony, we'll give you a few minutes. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, committee members. My name for the record is Joel Bennett. I've been a Juneau resident since 1968. And I want to offer the perspective of a local landowner, in fact, the landowner who's immediately adjacent to the cemetery itself. There are a number of parcels between the state dock there and the cemetery, about 7 people, and they all, to my knowledge, support this bill and the intent behind the bill to transfer this property and offer permanent protection to the cemetery. In fact, several of us have been sort of unofficial caretakers, really, of the cemetery in terms of safeguarding it against the crosses, propping them up and keeping an eye on things, as well as creating a trail from the beach back to the cemetery itself. So really, it goes beyond just verbal support. I'm also very familiar with the land use in the immediate area and the land use that will be covered in the parcel that of the 251 acres. This is primarily a true recreational land in that, you know, the timber is scrubby. It's quite brushy, and there's been no ever any mention of commercial timber resource in this area, nor has there ever been any mining investigation to our knowledge. I've been there over 30 years. It's primarily hiking, berry picking, and deer hunting. And I can account for quite a few deer in the area myself. That is my answer to the question of the committee about local opposition. There simply is none, and no resource conflicts to my knowledge. Also, I might add that Martin Stepanin and I are both board members of an organization called Friends of Admiralty, a nonprofit public interest group formed in 1987. And we have had as a priority project in recent years the advocacy for the displaced Pribilof Aleuts and the cemetery project. We've been involved in meaningful recognition in several ways, including a plan for interpretive signs, and we've hosted a major gathering there of some of the surviving Aleut descendants, as well as Tlingit elders, several years ago to erect a cross, a Russian cross, over there for the benefit of the cemetery. So we have quite a bit of connection with that, with this project. And our group, I'd like to just say for the record, is thoroughly in support of HB 10. I think that's all I have to say, really. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. And Alex, can you clarify that there's nobody else on public testimony? Thank you. With that, we'll gavel out of public testimony on HB 10. Before kind of closing out the discussion, I wanted to give the opportunity to the Alaska State Parks Mr. Cruz, if you'd like to provide any closing comments in regards of the department's stance related to HB 10.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Once again, this is Preston Cruz with Alaska State Parks. So I guess it goes without saying, since we are honored to be considered to accept this parcel as part of the State Marine Park, that we do completely support HB 10. We have been working with many of the people that, or all of the people actually, that spoke here today, along with many other organizations and individuals, to bring this to light and try to make the protection of the cemetery possible. A few points I'd like to clarify that had come up throughout today's discussion. We are still today unclear of exactly how many graves are there in the cemetery in Funter Bay. There are a number of different lists that appear, and it appears that there are about 49 individuals that perished during the Funter Bay internment camp period, but some of them were relocated to Juneau and quite possibly died in Juneau during their medical care and were buried in Juneau. Some were returned to Funter or believed to be returned to Funter Bay and buried there. There are many unmarked graves, and as I said, we believe that there are many that we just don't even have cataloged or currently recognized. So that's why there is a discrepancy for the number of graves there. There were the two camp locations within Funter Bay that that cemetery served. So there was also those two communities, and you know, with the difficulty of record keeping, that also complicated how many grave sites currently exist. One of the other questions that I'd like to address with the acreage, the 251 acreage, as Mr. Clark and Representative Hanna have both mentioned, the reason that the total 251 acres are being proposed to be added to the state park are because of simplicity. It's currently DNR land. It will remain DNR land. It is just would be changing hands from mining land and water to Alaska State Parks. And without having to, divide it up, it saved that any cost. And then additionally, it's just easier to manage mining land and water, since they were giving up some parcels, and this 251 acres is all that they manage in the Funter Bay area, and it was still staying within DNR. They just agreed that it would be easier to manage, and they would not have any remaining parcels there. It would all the DNR land in Funter Bay would then be managed by Alaska State Parks.
Thank you.
I'm more than happy to take any other additional questions at this time, but otherwise, I appreciate your time. And
thank you, Mr. Cruz. Any questions from committee members regarding HB 10? Seeing or hearing none, I'd like to thank Representative Hannon for taking the time and allowing your staff to be here to present the bill to us, and those folks that called on public testimony and invited testimony. We thank you for taking the time out of your day to reach out. In closing, we'll bring House Bill 10 back up on Wednesday, March 31st, next week. And if there are any proposed amendments from committee members, please have them to my office by Tuesday, March 30th at 1 p.m. In the meantime, we'll set the bill aside until then. Also, please note in your calendars that we will not be meeting on Monday or Friday next week. And in addition to HB 10, on Wednesday, we'll be bringing up House Bill 26, which is Conflict of Interest, Board of Fish and Board of Game, sponsored by the House Fisheries Committee. With that, seeing or hearing no other questions or comment, will Representative Kronk
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that I had the pleasure of already having this presentation in tribal affairs. So I think it's a real honorable thing to do what we're doing. We're basically just transferring state land from one entity to the other. And I think it's just a good honorable thing to do for people. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kronk. And I'll offer the floor to Representative Hannon for closing comments.
Thank you all for your attention and interest. And if you are, if you have not wandered beyond the Capitol, the St. Nicholas Church that one of our testimonies referred to is just up the block. It's the Gold Dome, and the plaque memorializing all the Pribilof and Aleutian relocations are there. The city library, or the city library, the city museum across the state street from us has a exhibit. It was put up for the 2019, no, last summer, or last cruise summer. So it was their prime show for the 2020 season, and they've held it over since we didn't have a lot of visitors in 2020. And, you know, they've got a lot more details and artifacts, as a museum would, from the relocation, and a lot of research went into it, so a lot of the survivors, elders who have now passed, were interviewed over the last couple of decades, and they've put them on a, you can listen to their stories from their time at Funner Bay. It's a pretty compelling and moving thing to listen to. So thank you for your time and interest, and I look forward to having your support.
Thank you, Representative Hannon. With that, we'll call the House Recess meeting adjourned until next Wednesday at, we're adjourning at 2:53 p.m.